You're neither early nor late. Are you surprised? I would have thought that after our last time, you would understand just how skilled I am at disguises. I certainly hope that I look presentable. Ah, how kind. After all the research I did on you, I have a bit of an idea about your preferences, after all. I decided to design my disguise along those lines. Why, certainly, finding out what a target's type is one of the most useful things an assassin can know. If I hadn't wanted to speak with you alone when we first met, I would have instead likely posed as an admirer and seduced you instead. People are at their most vulnerable when they're head over heels for someone. Oh, believe me, I certainly did consider creating a whole false identity to appeal to your tastes, just to win you over and bring you to the Blancmonts. But, well, my decision to try and get you to fall in love with me was a personal, emotional decision. It wouldn't really satisfy that side of myself if you fell in love with an act that I put on for you rather than the real me. Anyway, shall we go in? I've already reserved a table for the both of us. Yes, what did I tell you? The food here is excellent. Really, it's a bigger draw than the alcohol. The owner apparently once had loftier ambitions, but had to settle for owning a small tavern like this one. Of course, I imagine you don't visit taverns often. That's one of the downsides of being a noble, in my opinion. Everyone expects you to eat and drink only the very best, but that's all you ever eat. No variety. I'm quite fortunate in that regard. As part of a noble family, I can enjoy the finer things, but when I go undercover as an assassin, I can experience a whole other side to the world. Yes, I suppose I am romanticizing it just a little. It's hardly a glamorous job, or even a respectable one, and yet, it's not without its perks. It's not as romantic or mysterious of a story as you might expect. It's not like I was raised by an ancient order of assassins or kidnapped and forced to learn the craft. I just discovered that I had a knack for killing. Well, of course that's true. The first time was... oh, it was so long ago. My mother was poor. Not because of oppression or misfortune. She was just foolish. She was easily tricked into spending her money on scams. Phony miracle tonics, fake business investments. You know how things are like that. She seemed to be incapable of learning from her mistakes in those regards. It always hurt knowing that I was going hungry because she couldn't stop spending, and it was always far, far worse whenever my father would show up. He would show up suddenly, telling her he was out on one surefire lead to riches or another, wring as much money as he could out of her, and then leave for months at a time. And every single time, she decided that this time he'd change and was being genuine. As you can imagine, my upbringing was damaging to my psyche. I went hungry so often, and all because of him. The thought occurred to me that if he stopped coming, my mother and I might be able to eat a proper meal for once. If you don't mind, I'd rather not go into the gruesome details. He was physically weak and constantly drunk, so let it suffice to say that it wasn't difficult for even a child to deal with him using the element of surprise. After that, it just sort of kept happening. More people would enter my life, lured by my mother's reputation for gullibility, and then I'd find a way to get rid of them. One day I realized that I could actually get paid for it and finally stop going hungry. Before I left home for good, though, I decided to put my mother out of her misery. It's not something I'm proud of, but I was barely a teenager at that point and still very much in a terrible state of mind. I'm sorry. That was far, far too much to share so soon. The point of this date was to make me seem less intimidating. Rest assured, I'm not the same person that I was back then. I suppose I can't claim that I'm not dangerous. I am still a professional killer, but I'm more controlled now. When the Blancmonts took me in, they helped me heal a bit. That's part of why I owe them so much. Fortunately, I think the play will lighten this somber mood I've just brought upon us. It's a splendid comedy. Shall we? Oh, goodness. That never gets old. What did you think about it? I thought you might. You've been under a great deal of stress lately. Partially thanks to me. I imagined that something lighthearted would agree with you. Yet another unfortunate side effect of noble life. Comedies are so often seen as lowbrow by the wealthy. You know, if we were to be wed, we could do more things like this. You'd have so few responsibilities with the weight of your family's finances no longer burdening you. And the Blancmonts would not think less of you for doing the sorts of things that were done tonight. Guilty as charged. Yes, I did want to give you a taste of what you're missing. I want to show you why agreeing to be mine is a much easier choice than you're making it out to be. But I'm not finished yet. If you'll recall, there was one more thing I wanted to do on this date. And it's still a surprise now, so you'll have to wait until we get there to find out what it is. Come along, it's not far. Oh, while we walk, what are your interests? Sharp as ever. Yes, I know exactly what your interests are. But I've never heard you describe them, so... There's much you can learn from someone based on how they describe the things that are important to them. Oh, Well, that actually comes as a surprise. You always act like fencing lessons are a chore. Ah, how shrewd. Making people think you're less enthusiastic than you are, so that they'll underestimate your skill with a blade at a critical moment. I knew I fell for you for a good reason. But are you sure it was wise to tell me that? Although I do insist that I won't harm you, you really would be wise to consider me the greatest threat to your life currently. I don't hear that often. Not from people who know who I really am. Why do you trust me? That is so like you. You say something so cunning, followed immediately by something incredibly naive. Okay, naive may be unfair. Optimistic, I suppose, would be the better word. I find it so enchanting. You're someone cunning enough to earn my respect, but you also very much have a wholesome, hopeful side. I'm afraid I lost touch with that side of myself a long time ago. I can't help but think that you could complete me. Oh, but we can talk about such things later. We've arrived. I'm not surprised. You don't see the appeal. This may appear to be a mere abandoned building, but follow me a bit further. You'll see. This is one of my safe houses. Or it was. I've converted it into something more cozy. I was thinking that if we're going to ever grow closer, we need a way to meet each other more easily. This can be a sort of secret hideaway, just for the two of us. We should try and figure out a sort of schedule where we can regularly meet here and just, well, do whatever comes to mind. This way, we don't have to fear scrutiny or intrusion. Oh, and here's the best part. Come here, to the balcony. You see, you would have no way of knowing based on the surroundings. But the view of the city is absolutely breathtaking, isn't it? So, what do you think of this? Would it be agreeable to meet here every so often? I'm glad. I've been craving a chance to be alone with you for an extended period for once. No more of this sneaking around, stealing little moments where we can. In fact, I was hoping we could spend the night here. Are you sure you need to leave? No, it's all right. I didn't tell you to expect an overnight stay, so it's reasonable that you have other plans, but I do hope that we can figure out something soon. Perhaps the evening after next? I would love that. Well then, it's probably best that I not walk you home. Even in disguise, I should avoid the Norvale estate, but I'll see you very soon. Until then, my love.